just go. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gangway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes and live listeners out there. Sorry about the internet dropping off on me. We are on one of those hotel Wi-Fis, and so every now and then, you gotta restart the internet. Love it when that happens in the middle of my show. If you missed that speech that I was giving at the Athens Human Rights Festival, it will be available on my YouTube page. That's right. I'm going to actually upload something to YouTube. I haven't done that in a long time, but we'll get that uploaded. My thanks to Ted Wentz for recording that, for videotaping that for me. You know, I don't do video anymore. There's just way too much overhead and trouble. I mean, I got my hands full making an audio stream come up every day. I can't handle the video, but those videos will be up online, and it was a fun time there at the Athens Human Rights Festival. Hung out with the folks from Peachtree Normal. Great group there that has all sorts of sub-chapters now all throughout the state of Georgia. The Athens chapter meets on the second Mondays of the month at Max Canada's. So next Monday, if you're in Athens, Georgia, you one of those UGA college students, make your way out to Max there and join up with Peachtree Normal. They're doing great work out there, and I'm so proud of both. You know, I got to say, two of my favorite Normal chapters in the country is Peachtree Normal in Atlanta, Georgia, and DFW Normal in Dallas-Fort Worth, and that's where I'll be this weekend. If you want to join me out in Fort Worth, Texas, I'm having trouble talking today. If you want to join me in Fort Worth, Texas, I'll be there for the Global Cannabis March on May 7th in Fort Worth, and this will mark to the day my 11th anniversary in marijuana activism. That's right. The first marijuana activist event that I did was the Global Cannabis March in Portland, Oregon on May 7th, 2005. And that's when I met Madeline Martinez and Anna Diaz and got involved with Oregon Normal. Now, I had been to the march the previous year in 2004, but I didn't take it seriously when they said the march started at high noon. I figure, you know, stoners, right? I'll get there around noon. It'll be fine, right? No. Madeline and Oregon Normal, when they said high noon, they meant high noon. Like when the clock struck noon, they left. Like the march was on. And so I got there around like 12:04, 12:05. There was nobody there. So I don't count that as my first event because I showed up, no one was there, and then I went home. But that second time in 2005, I learned my lesson. I showed up nice and early and got involved. So it was a lot of fun. Now, there's breaking news. John Thomas is bringing it to us through our chat room from the East Bay Express, Legalization Nation. David Downs writing out there says, quote, Drug Policy Alliance confirmed that the Adult Use of Marijuana Act will gather enough signatures to put the measure on the November ballot. Oh, that is such great news. We are so happy to hear that. Fantastic there. Yes. It says, but as the signature deadline looms, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act's proponents are slowing the effort to save money for the election, advertising, and other costs, they said. Drug Policy Alliance, Marijuana Policy Project, and wealthy individuals have donated $3 million for California legalization. It could cost $10 million to run a campaign without opposition, and much more if significant opposition emerges. Well, guess what, folks? Significant opposition will emerge. I guarantee you, we are going to see more anti-marijuana money spent this year in this election than in all previous elections combined. Already in Florida, right here in Florida, where they've got Amendment 2 on the ballot for medical marijuana again, Sheldon Adelson and Mel Sembler are teaming up. Mel Sembler says he's going to try to raise $10 million to oppose medical marijuana in Florida. You can bet similar amounts of money are going to head toward California because they know that's their Waterloo.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Educator, author, and advocate Dr. Mitch Earlywine is here to tackle the burning issues.
And I'm here to clear up the myths about cannabis and burn them away with science.
CannabisRadio.com presents a no-holds-barred platform that seeks to redefine and revolutionize the entire scope of the cannabis culture while opening the door for more to join the cannabis crusade.
Dr. Kevin Hill.
You can't ignore the fact that, like alcohol, most people who use don't have a problem. So I think that you need to think about policy in that way while educating people properly about marijuana. I think that's the way to go.
Burning Issues, only on CannabisRadio.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show, annoying Kevin Sabet since 2012.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Thanks, Dan Michaels, and want to remind everyone, programming-wise, coming up at the top of the hour, you'll get to listen in on the Stoner Jesus Show, live here on CannabisRadio.com, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. That's right, Stoner Jesus, coming up next, right after this program. Also, this weekend, like I mentioned, I'll be in Dallas, Fort Worth area, Fort Worth specifically, for the Global Cannabis March. I hope to meet a lot of you there. I also got to get my tattoo updated from Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, and congratulations to my artist, Thomas Barrington, who just recently married his lovely bride, Beth. Congratulations to the both of you. I hope you're back in time for me to get some updates because I got to add some cities. I got to add New York City and Baltimore and Arlington, Virginia, Columbia, South Carolina, Athens, Georgia. Now I get to add Hollywood, Florida. So lots of additions to the back tattoo. Also, coming up after this weekend, next week, I'll be back here in Florida. I'll be back here in Orlando for the Florida Medical Marijuana Business Conference. So if you don't catch me this week in Florida, you can catch me next week in Florida. And again, if you just joined us, the big news coming from East Bay Express and Legalization Nation telling us that Drug Policy Alliance is saying they will have enough signatures to make the ballot with the California Adult Use of Marijuana Act. Now, I've been going rounds with some of these people, some stoners against legalization, on my Facebook and Twitter pages, and I want to make one thing absolutely crystal clear to everyone out there. The Adult Use of Marijuana Act does not repeal medical marijuana. It does not affect medical marijuana. Whatever you're doing with medical marijuana right now, you'll be doing after legalization passes. But you wouldn't know it from some of these opponents that come up with all of these crazy, tortured logic, pretzeled concepts to try to get people to vote against their own best interests. One of the tactics they'll use is they'll say that, oh, well, Adult Use of Marijuana Act has all these fines and jail time. Folks, the fines and jail time listed in the Adult Use of Marijuana Act are equal to or lesser than what the law is right now. The only thing that increases under the Adult Use of Marijuana Act, one single thing, the public toking ticket goes from $100 to $250. That's it. Everything else in there, when it says there's a misdemeanor for this or a felony for that, that's what the law is right now. Too many of the people reading these things don't understand that sometimes you have to restate what the law is when you're passing new laws. Anyway, we'll come back to that. Right now, I want to get you back to Athens, Georgia, for my second speech at the Athens Human Rights Festival. It took place this last weekend, and I had more to say about marijuana legalization. Enjoy.
Hi, Athens, Georgia. How y'all doing? My name is Radical Russ Belville. You can find me, Radical Russ, everywhere online. And I am the host of the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, a live, daily, two-hour talk radio program all about the legalization of marijuana. We are the NPR of POT. I've been all over this country lately. Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Las Vegas, Baltimore, Washington, Arlington, New York City, Columbia, South Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, and now I'm here in Athens, Georgia for my first time ever. You guys have an excellent town here, loving it. And the reason I'm here, because this is the Athens Human Rights Festival, and a lot of people don't recognize the fact that using cannabis is a human right. Nobody's got the right to tell us what comes out of the earth is not for us. And whether you're a religious person, if you are, look on page one. If you're not a religious person, it doesn't matter. Because this is nature, and we are a part of nature, and we have the human right to do with the plants on this planet what we choose, so long as we do not harm someone else. And when we're living in a country where alcohol is accepted and legalized and often promoted, we certainly can't have any logical reason to stop people from using a substance that is far safer than alcohol. And that's not an anti-alcohol thing. I like alcohol. I like to drink a beer or a cider or cocktail now and then. All we're asking for, those of us who consume cannabis, is to be treated with the same rights and responsibilities as the people who consume alcohol. The fact is, it doesn't matter whether you like marijuana or don't like marijuana, it's here. Plenty of people do like it, and they're going to continue to use it. And trying to criminalize it just means you're going to spend $36,000 a year locking someone up for something that really isn't a crime to anyone. Here in the state of Georgia, the possession of marijuana for 1 ounce or less, which is a personal use amount, is a misdemeanor with a possible 1 year jail sentence, and I think it's a $1,000 fine. That's first offense. Second offense rises. Those amounts get greater. concentrates, if you know about extracts and hashish, those concentrates, possession of less than 10 grams is a misdemeanor, 1 year, possible $1,000 fine. If you're in possession of more than an ounce or more than 10 grams, it's automatically accepted to be possession with intent to distribute. They don't have to prove you actually sold to anyone. If you got more than that amount, you're a dealer, whether you made a dime on it or not. And you are subject to a felony charge that carries a mandatory minimum 1 year in prison. You're going to jail for a year if they catch you with more than an ounce or more than 10 grams or a single seed.
Yep.
A single plant is that same felony with a 1 year mandatory minimum. Now, I know it costs around 36 grand to lock someone up in the Georgia State Penitentiary for these crimes, and I know that college tuition's expensive these days. So how many kids could we have going to the University of Georgia for the money that we spend locking them up for growing or selling or using a little bit of cannabis? Our president used cannabis. The president before him used cannabis. The president before him used cannabis. Michael Phelps used cannabis. Usain Bolt, the Jamaican sprint star, used cannabis. Carl Sagan, the famous doctor from Cosmos, one of the smartest men on the planet, actually designed the message to the aliens that went out on the Voyager probe. Because if you're going to ask someone to write a message to aliens, you want to pick the guy who smoked a little reefer, right? A little creativity, right? The smartest, most athletic, most creative, most industrious people on this planet use cannabis. I host a live daily 2-hour talk radio show. I publish 2 articles a week on HighTimes.com. My current article is in High Times print online. I travel over 100,000 air miles a year doing these types of jobs. I founded 2 or 3 businesses and helped co-found at least 9 or 10 of the most active normal chapters in the country. So much for a motivational syndrome. I'm getting up every day at 8 in the morning. I've never worked harder in my life. And I hope you all understand that when we talk about marijuana legalization, I think a lot of times people aren't afraid of pot so much as they're afraid of potheads, right? They're not afraid of, like, you know, if Joe the Vietnam vet wants to smoke a doobie on his back porch at night, who cares? But they're worried about the kids. They're worried about the young people. They're going to do all sorts of crazy things or get hooked on heroin. I'm here to tell you that doesn't happen. I'm from Portland, Oregon. There are 9 different pot shops on the boulevard where I live. And yet, the train still runs on time. People still go to work. Kids still go to school. People who were smoking pot still are. People that weren't smoking pot didn't take it up. Nobody took up heroin that wasn't already using it. In other words, it's been kind of boring, actually. Like, we had all these doom and gloom predictions that the sky would fall and there'd be chaos and blood running in the streets, and it never came to pass. We have the lowest traffic fatality rates that we've ever measured. Same thing in Colorado, same thing in Washington. In fact, the per 100 million miles traveled fatality rates in the 4 legal states are lower than they are in Georgia. Y'all wreck your cars more than us potheads up in the Pacific Northwest. You know why? So we're sitting there at the stop sign waiting for it to turn green.
That's right.
That's a little joke, but there is a little bit of truth to that. Marijuana doesn't make people belligerent or lose their judgment or behave out of sorts. It makes guitar solos better. It makes Funyuns delicious. But it's not going to cause anyone to beat their wife. It's not going to cause anyone to want to break into someone's house so that they can get their next bowl. That's not the way marijuana works. There are 28 million marijuana consumers in the United States of America. That's more tokers than Texans. There's more people smoking pot than the whole state of Texas. And trust me, there's some in the state of Texas, too. This is a mainstream thing. The latest CBS News poll shows that 56% of the American public supports marijuana legalization, and that 51% of the American public has tried it in their lifetime. So if you've never smoked pot, look to your left, look to your right, I guarantee you one of those people has smoked pot. And you all look like okay people. Most of you look pretty good. There's nothing wrong with it. You have nothing to fear. So I'll leave you with this. Please check out the Peachtree Normal booth. That's Sharon Raymer. She's with Peachtree Normal if you'd like to talk to her. PeachTreeNormal.org is your local chapter. You've got a local chapter right here in Athens. Meets on the second Monday of every month right over there at Max Canada's. Get involved, because when you ask me when are they going to legalize marijuana, I ask you, when are you going to legalize marijuana? It's up to all of you. Get registered, vote, get active. Join Peachtree Normal. I'm Radical Russ. See you later.
There we go.
Well, what the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
Happy 420 to everyone out there back in my home time zone, the Pacific time zone. West Coast is the best coast, but I'm out here on the East Coast where it's still kind of sunny and warm, and I might have to head out to the beach. When we come back, I'm going to tell you my tale of personal discrimination in Florida when we return.
Next to THC and CBD, you can now add CBR to your cannabis vernacular. CBR as in CannabisRadio.com.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping Gondrepreneurs grow.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
The time has come to end prohibition of marijuana in Vermont.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for marijuana sales to take place in regulated businesses
and stop taking place in our neighborhoods.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to create rules for testing and labeling marijuana so that consumers can know what they're getting.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to stop punishing adults for consuming a product that's less harmful than alcohol.
And spend more time addressing serious crimes.
Prohibition has failed.
It's time for a more sensible approach.
S-241 would end prohibition.
And regulate marijuana in Vermont.
We are ready.
We're ready.
We're ready.
We're ready.
We're ready.
Vermont is ready.
Contact a representative now and ask them to support S-241. It's time to end prohibition and regulate marijuana in Vermont.
Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking the Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 23 and a half after the hour here in Hollywood, Florida. And before I get off to my discrimination story, I just wanted to make mention of that last Vermont commercial that was on. Fran Janik, one of our longtime listeners, texted me earlier saying that things are looking pretty good for that Vermont bill. And he's really of the opinion that something's going to get passed here pretty soon. And what a great gift that would be as we're continuing to ramp up over the upcoming summer months. There's going to be a lot of focus on signature gathering in California and Arizona. Maine's already made the ballot. Michigan, Massachusetts, Ohio, Missouri, and so forth. There's going to be a lot of talk about gathering signatures for marijuana. And to have a state government pass marijuana legalization in some form would be huge. Because I think a lot of these state governments are going to start to feel like they're between a rock and a hard place. They're going to start to feel like especially, I mean, I'm speaking mostly of the initiative states, that if they don't move on marijuana legalization, the people will. And especially after we pass California, Arizona, Nevada, Massachusetts, Michigan, Maine, six states with legalization are possible coming up in 2016. Add Vermont to that, you'd have seven. If Rhode Island continues moving forward, you'd have eight. We could have eight legal states. We could double the number of legal states in one election, in one year, right? Six through elections, two through the legislature. And we could have a dozen legal states plus D.C. So you could actually think of it as a quarter of the country with legal marijuana. And then on top of that, we'll have Florida, Ohio, possibly Missouri with medical marijuana. And that would bring us, with Pennsylvania, up to 27 states plus D.C. So it's going to be just impossible for these governments to believe that legalization in some form is not inevitable. And for the initiative states that remain, they're going to have to think, they're going to have to compare. They're going to have to take a look at what gets passed in California and these other states versus what gets passed in Vermont. And I do believe what gets passed in Vermont will be more restrictive than what we've seen in the currently legal states. Vermont's talking about a possibility of a two-plant home grow and state stores and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of these governments are going to come to the decision that, look, we've got to legalize it or else they will, and they're going to legalize it like crazy, and we want to legalize it real restrictive. So I really believe this 2016 election is the tipping point. This is where there's no turning back. And that's why it's such an important election, is because this is the Waterloo for prohibition. This is their last shot. Kevin Sabet, Sheldon Adelson, Mel Sembler, all of these anti-drug people that want to stop legalization, they know damn well that when California falls, it's all over but the shouting. Kevin Sabet made references to this at his United Nations presentations about how important it was to stop this roller coaster at California, that we need to stop California. So if you don't think there's going to be a huge amount of opposition money coming in against legalization, then you're not paying attention. There will be commercials. There'll be the scary commercials, and there'll be the smoked out kind of visual of billboards on Colfax in Denver and scenes of Seattle Hemp Fest and a bunch of kids doing dabs, right? Every scary image they can possibly imagine is going to come out in these ads. And so it's going to be a real test here to see, can marijuana legalization withstand a serious opposition campaign? Up till now, all of our marijuana legalization campaigns have had only token opposition, pardon the pun, just the bare minimum of, you know, the Sheriff's Association, you know, saying something bad about it, but not running commercials 24/7, not running full page ads in the newspapers and so forth, not building coalitions of like-minded prohibitionists. You know, they could pull together, say, the medical associations and the police associations and the pediatric associations and make these big ads scaring the hell out of people. That's coming. And can legalization withstand it? I think we can, but, you know, the numbers are real close. So far, the polls this year have been between 51 and 56% support for marijuana legalization nationwide, but those polls can differ state by state. And don't think that a big influx of money can't defeat us. In 2014, Florida's medical marijuana amendment was polling at between 65 and 80% leading up to the election. And then Sheldon Adelson donated $4.5 million for a smear campaign that painted medical marijuana as, you know, pure legalization, that it would help drug dealers, that your kids would be getting high, all these completely untrue scare tactics, but they worked. I mean, they worked in the sense that they got the vote down to 58%. Now, 58% in any normal state would be a win, right? But in Florida, their constitution says you got to have 60% in order to pass. So can we withstand a concerted effort by the prohibitionists putting eight figures worth of spending against legalization? I think we can. Not only do I think we can, I think we must. Because if they get any success at blocking marijuana legalization, especially in California, if they manage to get a second legalization loss in California in a 6-year span, that's only going to embolden them for the next few rounds of campaigns. And it's only going to increase the donations they get because now they've proven, hey, if you give us money, we can defeat legalization. And that's why I get so pissed off about these stoners against legalization in California who are making up all sorts of crazy ideas about how terrible it will be if we legalize marijuana. My latest, I've been having a lot of fun with this one named Denise on Twitter and on Facebook. And one of her latest ones was that the Adult Use of Marijuana Act was a move by billionaire white boys, meaning Sean Parker, right? A move by billionaire white boys to become trillionaires. Yes, folks, she actually said trillionaires with a T, trillionaires. Now, never mind the fact that Bill Gates, currently the world's richest human, has a net worth of $75 billion. She thinks that Sean Parker is going to legalize marijuana and through that become a trillionaire. Folks, you have to add up the net worth of the top 27 billionaires on the planet to add up to $1 trillion. We're talking Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, the Walton family, the Mars family, the Mars Candy Empire family, numerous Saudi sheiks, some Brazilian telecommunications owners, and so forth. Add up all their wealth, and it comes up to $1 trillion, 27 of the richest people. But somehow, Sean Parker is going to legalize weed, and he said himself he's not getting into the weed business, but even if he did, he's going to legalize weed, and there's going to be a system where there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of competing growers and retailers, and it's going to crash the price of marijuana, and somehow that's going to make him $1 trillion. Do you watch South Park much? Do you know the idea of the underpants gnomes? That's what I think about when I am dealing with these stoners against legalization is the underpants gnomes. If you don't know South Park, it's a long story, but basically the underpants gnomes are the ones that step one, collect underpants. Step two, Step three, profit. It's like, why are they collecting underpants? You don't know, but somehow that's supposed to lead to profit. Well, that's how I think about these Adult Use of Marijuana Act guys, these antis, these stoners against legalization. They're going to legalize marijuana and then somehow become trillionaires. It just makes no sense. And a lot of the scares have to do with, oh no, it's going to restrict medical and patients won't be able to grow 99 plants. And if you can't grow 99 plants, then it's not legal. It's this silly all or nothing thinking, right? That if there remains any criminal penalty whatsoever or any fine whatsoever at any level, then it's not legalization. We have to reject it because if we instituted that, why it would be set in stone and would never change. It's just so silly. It's so politically immature that really I shouldn't even waste my time arguing about it, but I can't help myself. It's this, and here's the other thing that's interesting too, is that the Adult Use of Marijuana Act. Okay, so when they write initiatives in California, the initiative process in California, there's some laws and regs around it that says after the people have passed an initiative, the legislature can't modify that initiative without, I think it's a 2/3 vote, something like that. Or the people can pass another initiative to modify it. Well, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act has actually been written up so that the legislature can modify it. It's actually waiving a lot of those you can't mess with a citizen initiative parts and saying, yes, we're going to pass this initiative. We want legal marijuana. Here's the basic guidelines of how we'd like to see that run. But the legislature can then adapt to whatever the needs are, to whatever the situation might be. So this doom and gloom thinking is based on two things. Number one, if we pass it, it'll be written in stone forever. We'll never be able to change it. And why should we take this minimal legalization now when clearly America is warming up to legalization? If we just waited a couple years or 4 years, we could pass something that's so much better. Well, to me, that opens up a couple questions. Number one, if you think you have the power to pass something better in 2018 or 2020, how would that stop you from passing something better after the Adult Use of Marijuana Act is passed? Right? If this Adult Use of Marijuana Act is so terrible and so many people would hate it, wouldn't there be a groundswell of support for passing something better that fixes it? It's like you can't have it both ways. You can't try to convince me you've got the power to pass a statewide initiative after a marijuana legalization defeat without me thinking that, well, then you must have the power to modify it after it passes. You can't have it both ways. And the fact is, they can't pass anything else. I'll tell you what happens if California loses. These same stoners against legalization will rally around three or four different true legalization amendments. They'll make a bunch of noise about all volunteer efforts. They will get nowhere. They'll not get enough signatures to get on the ballot. They'll not have anybody donating to them in any significant way. And they'll just waste a whole bunch of people's time and effort. And meanwhile, in 2018 or 2020, there will be another professionally funded organization trying to pass legalization. But this time, having suffered a defeat in 2016, they'll say, oh, you know what? Maybe we overreached. Maybe we should not have home grow. Maybe we should put in a per se DUID. Don't think that the passage of time necessarily means that the offers for marijuana legalization are going to get better. They could get worse. Proof in the pudding? 2012, Oregon. We put forth what a lot of these people would call a true legalization measure. Unlimited possession, unlimited cultivation, so long as it was as personal. And it got trashed. It got defeated. It lost by 15 points or something. 46 something. It got 46%. What came the next time around that actually won was far more restrictive than the one that lost in 2012. Don't look a gift legalization in the mouth, folks. Take it whenever you can get it.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Keep your cannabis cravings under control. Feed your mind with CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolut, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You know, during Dance with the Stars, I started feeling discomfort.
Yeah.
And not only that, I was doing these old man smells. And it was kind of embarrassing because, you know, all the Dancing with the Stars crew, cast and crew, you know, they're all young kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, this old guy would come along and do one of those silent farts, you know, that you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you smell, and everybody go, what the hell smells? And, you know, and you knew it was me. And so I'd scurry off to the bathroom, you know, and that's when I knew that there was something wrong.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 39 after the hour here, live from Hollywood, Florida. And I got to tell you my story of Florida discrimination. Kind of sad, actually. So I'm here in Hollywood, Florida. I'm staying at a hotel resort, but I did not intend to when I came here. I actually came down to Miami because, well, on Friday, the Unity Torch, the Unity Cypher, will make its way down. And I wanted to, you know, be a part of that. But I came down here early because I have a friend, a very dear friend, who lives in Miami. And I've known her since sixth grade, right? We have been friends for 37 years. And, you know, we were really tight friends, too, because we were both in the Gifted and Talented program growing up. And the two of us are the youngest members of our senior class. She's like 10 days younger than I am, right? So we were, you know, we were pretty tight. And as friends, of course, she and I have, or at least had, vastly different religious views, and we'd never dated or anything like that, but we'd always kept in touch and we were always friends. And, you know, I went on to my life, she went on to her life, and we've kept in touch, right? So I was really excited to be able to come down here to Miami, and she and her girlfriend said that, you know, I could stay at their place, and that's cool, right? Like, oh, I'll stay at your place, right? And she has two children, a teenage girl and a 9-year-old boy from a previous marriage. And her ex lives in Florida as well, lives in the Miami area as well. And they split custody, right? So the whole point was that I was going to spend the night for 4 days at my friend's house. And these happen to correspond with days when the split custody, when the kids wouldn't be at the house. But that was for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I got here yesterday. So when I got here yesterday, I got the opportunity to meet her kids for the first time, right? And that was kind of cool, right? And it was, everything was going well until she got some text messages from her ex. And basically, the point he made was he wasn't comfortable having his children being exposed to a proponent of illegal drug use. That's right. This ex-husband actually threatened to call the Department of Children and Families here in Florida, DCF, threatened to call DCF for child abuse charges, child endangerment charges, because her kids, his kids, their kids, would be in a house with a known proponent of drug abuse, aka me. And it really hit me, man. It's like, you know, I'm a straight, white, tall, heterosexual, cisgendered male. It's not like discrimination comes my way that often. And it just really hurt. It was like, really? You never even met me, dude. You don't even know me. And you think your kids are in danger around me? And it's not like I'm meeting, you know, 9 and 13-year-old kids and going, hi, my name's Russ Belville. Marijuana's awesome. Y'all ought to try it. Right? I'm a sensible human being that the subject wasn't even going to come up. Right? But he couldn't take it. He couldn't bear the idea that his kids might be exposed to somebody who merely has different views than he does. And it's not like I had weed either. I was ready to go this whole 4 days here, this whole week in Miami. I was prepared to go weed free out of respect for my friend, because I don't want her to get in trouble for weed, and out of respect for the kids and all that. Now, don't get me wrong. Of course, the house is more than okay to have bottles of vodka and tequila and rum and cases of beer in it. He doesn't have a problem with any of that. That's all cool. But me, the guy who thinks marijuana ought to be legal, I'm the danger to the kids. Now, my friend, bless her heart, fought back against this and text messages back. But then she's asking me these questions like, well, could he call DCF? Would they come investigate? I don't think so. I don't think, you know, a parent can just, you know, a disgruntled ex can do that, but I didn't want to take those chances. So that's why I'm here in a hotel room. Spent money that I didn't expect to be spending because of discrimination, because of bigotry. And it's just frustrating. And the irony to me, the huge irony in this whole case, she's white, he's black. Just 50 years ago in this country, they couldn't have been married in most states. I don't know when Florida changed their law, but it was mostly the southern and the Midwestern states that still had anti-miscegenation laws, and that means laws against interracial marriage. So it just stunned me that a black man who just 50 years ago couldn't have married that white woman and had those wonderful kids, who would have been discriminated against just for what he looks like, could then exhibit such bigotry and discrimination against me for merely what I think. It's just, it blows my mind. The irony and the sadness and the tragedy of this has really gotten me to thinking. And it's just fascinating to me how much this propaganda and this demonization of cannabis and marijuana and the people that are using it, how much that poisons people sometimes. I mean, that's when we talk about marijuana legalization, the actual ending of the contraband nature of that plant, it's important, but it's not the real story. If it wasn't marijuana, it would be something else. The real story, and it's a story as old as time, is a story of discrimination and caste systems and bigotry and prejudice. It's the same story with just a different noun involved. This time it's cannabis. Next time it's gay. Next time it's transgender. Next time it's communist. Next time it's whatever. It reminds me of the old Pastor Niemöller poem. First they came for the trade unionists, but I wasn't a trade unionist, so I said nothing. Then they came for the communists, and I wasn't a communist, so I said nothing. And then they came for the Jews, but I wasn't a Jew, so I said nothing. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak up. That's something that I think doesn't get emphasized enough in our movement. Sometimes we focus on the marijuana and not the people using it. We come at this making the case that, well, marijuana heals epilepsy. Marijuana cures cancer. Hemp can make these buildings. Marijuana is safer than alcohol. And we talk a lot about the marijuana, but we don't talk about the people using the marijuana. I got into this philosophical discussion about this one time, about being a stoner. And some people are offended by that term. I understand why. But I'm not. I actually have a difference, like what is a stoner and what is a pothead. A stoner is someone who loves marijuana and loves to get high. A pothead is someone who loves marijuana, loves to get high, and can tell you all about it. So the archetypes would be Jeff Spicoli from Fast Times. He's a stoner. He just likes getting high. He likes weed, likes getting high, having a good time. But he's not going to sit there and reel off stats or polls to you or studies. A pothead, though, will. And the archetype for the pothead would be Slater from Dazed and Confused. Yeah, man, Martha Washington, man, she was a hip lady, right? That dude, right? That's a pothead. That's someone who loves pot and can tell you why, okay? So no matter what you are, stoner or pothead, on that spectrum, an interesting philosophical question is, do you have to be smoking pot to be a stoner? Think about that. Like, I'm considered a stoner because I'm someone who smokes pot and wants it legal, right? But if I went a year without smoking pot, would I still be a stoner? That is to say, is the classification of being a stoner dependent on the use of cannabis? Could you be a sober stoner? And I believe you can. Because I believe that this stoner thing isn't really so much of I like this plant and I smoke it, but more of a mindset of it's my body and mind and I'll do with it what I damn well please. And one of the things I want to do with it is get it high. So maybe the question isn't so much are you a stoner if you don't smoke pot? But is being a stoner actually a part of something greater? And I'd argue that it is. I'd argue that it's part of being a member of the, you know, the battalion of cognitive liberty, just for the lack of any other name, right? Cognitive liberty, the idea that your mind is yours to do with what you choose. I had another interesting argument. This guy on Facebook named Michael has been going rounds with me. And he tried to divert the argument. We were talking about weed in some respect. And he tried to divert the argument by saying, well, so do you support recreational heroin? Do you support recreational meth? Right? Because he's one of these medical guys, right? Do you support recreational LSD? And I had to tell him, yeah, I do. In the concept that recreational means one's own personal use. And in that respect, I do support it. If you would like to take some heroin, be my guest. If you would like to dose up on some acid, have at it. Now, please be responsible. Make sure you've set up a situation where you're safe. If you're going to trip on some LSD, have yourself a psychonaut babysitter, somebody that knows what's happening and can talk you down from a bad high. If you're the kind of person that wants to do heroin, I'd recommend you get yourself some naloxone just in case you have an overdose. But I'm not the person who's going to ascribe any sort of negative morality based on which way people like to get fucked up. I don't think doing heroin is any more or less moral than getting drunk. I don't think doing ecstasy is any more or less moral than using Xanax. Drugs are neither good nor evil, folks. They are just things. They are just nouns. The good or evil from drugs comes from the way people use them and their relationships with them. I'm not going to deny there's people out there that got a real bad relationship with heroin. I'm not going to deny that there's meth abusers out there who end up committing crimes. But those are all, let's not say all, let's say 90%. 90% of that's related to the prohibition. The people with opiate overdoses, that's related to the prohibition preventing them from having naloxone or preventing them from having a steady, consistent, pure dose that they know what it is. When we take heroin out of the streets and we put it into safe injection sites like you find in Switzerland or Vancouver, guess what? The overdose rates drop dramatically. There's no reason, and this is something we're going to have to really police within our own movement here, is there is a strain of drug bigotry amongst cannabis consumers. There's a lot of cannabis consumers that get on their high horse, pardon the pun, get on their high horse because marijuana is so safe and effective and it's natural and it's healing and it's medical, who will then look down on cocaine or meth or heroin or ecstasy or LSD or any of these other things as being bad because they're more dangerous or evil because they're more dangerous. And that's just not the case. And in fact, many of those drugs I just spoke about could have as beneficial medical uses as cannabis. They're talking about LSD for treating post-traumatic stress and LSD for treating alcoholism, ecstasy for couples counseling. There's all sorts of realms we have yet to open when it comes to medical use of these substances because of the prohibition.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
From dabs to chivas, sativas to indicas, we roll out a whole concentrate of fresh new content every week. It's like going from the greenhouse to the dispensary, CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
It's time for cannabis facts about Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from the SilverTour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're just cleaning up here and setting up shop for the next show, and that will be Stoner Jesus coming to you live here on CannabisRadio.com. Stoner Jesus is up next. And just to close out that last thought, John Thomas brings up the point that different drugs do have different risks and different harms. And yeah, I don't want anyone to mistake my last rant about the drugs all being equal. No, of course not, right? To me, it's like cannabis is like your bicycle with training wheels of drugs. And then you might move up to a BMX bike with mushrooms. Then maybe you might ride a dirt bike and get yourself up to some ecstasy. And then maybe you, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, there's different levels of harm and different risks involved with all of these drugs. But that doesn't mean that the Porsche and the tricycle, that one's good and one's evil. It just means with the Porsche, you got to extend more care. You got to be more responsible. You got to have better skills. But the fact remains, and Dr. Carl Hart in his book High Price illustrates this, is that the vast majority of people who do drugs do not have a problem with them. Even heroin, when you talk about 30% of the people becoming dependent and addicted to it, that means 70% of them are having no problems. They do their heroin and then they get on with their lives. And that's the fact with most drugs. Most drugs, 70 to 90% of the people that use them don't develop problems with them. So why should we treat those people as if they're all the problematic users? In fact, if we didn't treat them all the same, we'd have more resources to deal with the problematic users. That's all the time I got for today. Thanks for joining us. For everyone here at Cannabis Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.